You're still running your business on QuickBooks? More like quicksand. The bigger your company grows, the faster you sink with outdated software. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program. That's special financing at netsuite.com/technews. netsuite.com/technews.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, May 4th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Last week, leaders at the tech company Basecamp said it would put limits on political conversations at work. That decision spurred an immediate backlash. You may have witnessed some of it in real time as it spilled out onto social media. The incident is just one example of a much bigger conversation about speech in the workplace that's happening in Silicon Valley. Our tech reporter Katie Binley will join us to explain after these headlines. The trial between Apple and Fortnite maker Epic Games got underway yesterday with opening arguments and testimony from a high-profile witness. We asked our reporter Sarah Needleman for some of the highlights.
When Tim Sweeney, the CEO and founder of Epic Games, took the stand, he testified that his company deliberately violated Apple's App Store rules by inserting its own payment system into Fortnite back in August, which is what prompted Apple to yank the game from its App Store, what led to the lawsuit. And Mr. Sweeney said that he did this intentionally to show the world the power that Apple wields through its app marketplace.
As we discussed on yesterday's podcast, the court battle centers on the commissions that Apple takes on purchases made through its App Store. Epic says those fees are anti-competitive, which Apple strongly denies. The trial is expected to continue over the next few weeks. We've been following Beijing's regulatory crackdown on the Chinese fintech giant Ant Group. Now we're seeing signs of financial fallout from it. Regulatory filings show that Fidelity, which invested in Ant 3 years ago, has cut its estimated valuation of the company in half. The new valuation is lower than when Fidelity first invested, which suggests the firm thinks it could take a loss on the deal. However, mutual funds regularly update the market values of assets in their portfolios, so it's possible the firm's marks on Ant's shares could be raised or lowered in the future. A Fidelity spokesperson said the firm doesn't comment on individual companies and declined to comment. Verizon reached a deal to sell Yahoo and AOL to the private equity firm Apollo Global for about $5 billion. The Wall Street Journal reported last week that the talks were ongoing. The deal marks the end of Verizon's foray into media, after both Yahoo and AOL mostly struggled to grow against Google and Facebook. And Facebook's independent oversight board says it'll issue a ruling tomorrow morning that could determine whether former President Donald Trump can return to its Facebook and Instagram platforms. Facebook was among the social media companies that suspended Trump's accounts after a pro-Trump mob attacked the U.S. Capitol in January. All right, coming up after the break, what happened when one tech company tried to limit what employees can talk about at work? That's next.
You're still running your business on QuickBooks? More like quicksand. The bigger your company grows, the faster you sync with outdated software. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program. That's special financing at netsuite.com/technews. netsuite.com/technews.
The startup Basecamp is well-known in tech circles. It makes product management and communication software for business teams. It developed the Ruby on Rails software development framework. It's quite influential in Silicon Valley. But last week, it got a lot of unexpected attention nationwide when it announced that its employees would no longer be allowed to have, quote, societal and political discussions on the company's internal Basecamp account. Leaders at the company said the conversations had become too much of a distraction from work. The move sparked a ton of conversation at Basecamp and beyond, and it's indicative of a broader debate happening in Silicon Valley. For more on this, we turn to our tech reporter, Catherine Binley. Hey, Katie, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about the reaction we saw to Basecamp's announcement here, both inside the company and publicly.
Yeah, I mean, this was all over Twitter, all over LinkedIn. Effectively, what you had was kind of two camps of people. You had, you know, people who said you know, for some people, especially underrepresented groups, they can't always sort of divorce politics from their identity. For example, I saw someone tweet, someone who's non-binary say, you know, if I introduce myself with my preferred pronouns at a work meeting, some people might view that as a political move, but to me, this is part of my identity. So there's this overlap between diversity and inclusion and, you know, quote, politics. And so you had, you know, some people really taking issue with this and thinking that it was, that such a ban was effectively a way to silence uncomfortable conversations about diversity and inclusion as opposed to, quote, political debates. On the flip side, you had people, one example would be the CEO of Coinbase, Brian Armstrong, saying he thought it was a courageous move. And, you know, Coinbase actually made a similar move this past fall. And people, you know, who are sort of on the other side of this debate say that, you know, work should be about work, that this has become a distraction, that, you know, it's just become too much of a focus in office culture, and that, you know, people shouldn't be bringing their political opinions into the workplace.
And so a lot of that conversation was playing out on social media, you know, Twitter, LinkedIn, like you said. At Basecamp, where did the situation ultimately net out? Where are we now?
So there was some great reporting by Casey Newton in a newsletter called Platformer. And basically, he said that some of what brought this on, this ban, was actually some staff members raising issues about the internal culture there, about diversity and inclusion issues. And so what ended up happening is one of the Basecamp founders responded to Casey Newton's reporting and said, you know, Casey's brought up some of the dirty laundry that, you know, kind of contributed to us making this decision. And in that follow-up post, they offered people buyouts if they no longer felt comfortable working for the company. And then you subsequently saw a bunch of people announcing on Twitter that they had resigned. Most of the employees who posted about this didn't go into super lengthy explanations. You know, they just said today, you know, I've decided I'm resigning. And people have been like collecting lists of all the employees. And I'm not certain of the exact amount, but it, you know, it seemed to be significant.
Got it. So Basecamp is certainly not the first tech company to institute a policy like this. You know, you already referenced the cryptocurrency company Coinbase. How do their actions fit into what we've seen from other companies?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Basecamp and Coinbase are the two that have sort of gone to the more extreme, I would say, by kind of coming up with these bans. But we have seen Facebook more recently and Google back in 2019 trying to put up some guardrails on political discussions on internal platforms. So Facebook, after getting feedback from employees that they wanted more control over what they would see in their work feeds on like their workplace platform, they decided to basically just give employees a little bit more say in what they see. So more control over like whether or not they have to have these conversations like pop up in their feeds. They said it's going well so far. They think it's like encouraging healthier debate and open discussion still or something along those lines. So companies have certainly tried to come up with different policies and kind of rein things in, if you will. But certainly Basecamp and Coinbase are the, you know, the two most notable examples where they've really gone, you know, kind of to the extreme.
And, you know, this kind of stuff has been an ongoing conversation for years now, but it seems like it's really reached a fever pitch over the last year or two. And I guess a big question I have for you is, why is that?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of reasons. I spoke with Glenn Kelman, who's the CEO of Redfin, and he was very open about what's gone on at their company. And he basically said, you know, the past year we had the death of George Floyd, the subsequent protests, a very contentious election. We've had the Capitol riots. And then on top of that, you've got the pandemic going on. So the boundaries between work and personal sort of had already started coming down in conjunction with the pandemic. And his take was that this is just a really difficult time to ask people to compartmentalize. And so, you know, he mentioned that there were a lot of internal debates going on during the protests over the social justice protests over the summer, and that he felt like he was being called on to arbitrate that. And he said, you know, I'm not trained to do that. And they tried to make like a hard and fast rule and on what the policy should be, and that he found it impossible. So they are basically you know, the general rule of thumb they've come up with is if they feel it's an issue of fairness, then the company will take a public stance on it and will, you know, support its employees internally. But, you know, he acknowledged this is challenging to figure out and that it's not perfect. Another company I spoke with, this startup based out of Utah, they noticed, you know, in part because people were no longer having conversations in person, everyone's doing everything over Slack, that the tenor of the conversations was just not as respectful as it had been. So people were posting links to politically sensitive topics on the company's Slack channel, and then people were getting into fights about it. So they made a rule that if you are going to post a link that deals with politics in any way, you have to record a video of yourself first explaining like your take on it. And if you want to respond to it, you have to film a video back. And their CEO just thought that this would maybe like bring back some of the more cordial tones that they had back when they would talk about things in person. And it's only been about 6 weeks, but he said basically people haven't been talking about politics anymore, kind of had the effect of being a ban without instituting a ban. So that was kind of interesting.
Definitely. So, Katie, you know, this incident at Basecamp and really the rise of these sorts of debates more broadly, what's the impact of all this and how could we see it continue to develop in the future?
I think it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you know, clearly some employees really care about this, and I think we're going to see it becoming even more of a deciding factor in where they ultimately want to work. They already do care about, does their company's values align with their own values? But based on some of the conversations I've had, this is just becoming increasingly important to some tech workers. So, you know, I think it is going to end up influencing the recruitment and retention of talent. It also, you know, we may end up seeing people decide that they want to work at a place that doesn't talk about politics. And other people are going to say, I only want to work at a place where I'm confident that my company will stand up for me and my beliefs when it comes to social justice issues. It's this interesting divide that I think is probably only going to get more divisive, sadly.
All right. Our tech reporter, Katie Binley. Thanks, Katie.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.